He is holy. And the angels around his throne never gets familiar with Jesus. Because they cover their wings and they cover their feet. When they're in his presence, it never becomes mundane to cry out, to worship, to ishtachabot before him, to worship him. And they cry out, Yadesh, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Yadesh, 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 in honor of the King. But we come to worship and we think, why should we say holy, holy, holy over and over? Why should we sing? Why should we worship? For 10 minutes we cannot worship him. And the angels cry out, never getting familiar with Jesus. Cover their head and cover their feet. And they cry in the presence. And they say, Yadesh, Yadesh, Yadesh. For he is worthy. For he is holy. For he is holy. And there is none like him. David cried and said, open up your ancient gates. Open up your everlasting doors, for the King of glory is coming in. Then he asks and he says, who is this King of glory? He says, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts means the Lord of the heavenly military. He comes through the doors. As we worship and as we praise him, the gates open. As we praise him, the doors open and the King comes in. By his glory, by his presence, by his anointing. Do you know what opens that door? Worship. Do you know what opens that door, that gate, ancient gates? The worship of his people. The word worship is ishtachabut. It means to lay flat on your face before God. To worship him. To worship him. And the angels cry, Yadesh, Yadesh, Yadesh. For you are holy. You are holy. And they cover their face and they cover their feet. But we get familiar to cry out before him, holy, holy, holy. They cry out day in and day out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy. He is the King. I pray that he comes in this morning with his holiness, with his presence, that he will anoint you. And that you will be blessed. So we're going to continue with our series on the wilderness. And this will be our last series. The last session of this series. Victory in the wilderness. There is notes. We've printed some notes. You can just find it either behind you or in front of you. Are you guys blessed by this series? Doesn't sound too exciting. Are you guys blessed by this series? All right. You might find yourself not in the wilderness right now. And that's why it's not exciting. But you might find yourself in the wilderness in the future. And this word will become alive inside of you. For the Holy Spirit will energize this word again. And you will know. Somewhere, you have been taught on how to get through the wilderness. Because it's going to come. You might still be in a honeymoon season because ECC is quite new church. We've only been going for 9 months. It's 9 months. Next month will be our celebration. It's next. When did we start? September. 18th of September, so next month is going to be our 1 year anniversary. Amen. I'm excited. You know, Pastor Leon started in a home cell in somebody's house, and there were 60 people that pitched up. And out of that, this is what you see. People just pitched up. There was no space for people. We had to take all the furniture out of the house and then accommodate the people inside. And you guys are the result. Amen. All right, so Benny, are you ready? Or are you going to have some deliverance tonight? All right, Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 5. We're going to start there. It's going to be really a very short word. It's going to conclude our series on the wilderness. And I think you guys are going to receive something that you can take home, that you can practice at home. Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 5. Accordingly, as He has chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. I want to read it again. Having predestined. Before the foundations of this earth, God has predestined you to be two things, holy and blameless. Two things. Before this foundation of this earth, He had a rayon, and He saw you walking on this planet, being holy, being blameless in Christ. It's in Christ that we will be blameless and holy. He has predestined us. What does holiness mean? What does it mean to be holy? It is a state of being pure. God said that before the foundations of this earth, I saw you in a purified state. I saw you holy in Christ. I had a rayon, and I saw you sitting at ECC on this morning, being in Him, being holy, being blameless. Somebody said to me over in the week, and they said to me that they feel they're not worthy and they cannot carry on. I said to them that freedom is not for other people. Freedom is for you. Holiness, to be blameless, is not for other people. That is for you today. A state of being pure is for you in this morning. I declare and I decree that the time that you walk out of this place, you will have a revelation of what it means to walk in a state of purity, to walk in His holiness in Jesus Christ. May He find you in the Christ. When the devil looks for you on this planet, may he find you blameless and holy in the King of Kings, in the Lord of Lords, in my Savior, Jesus the Christ. We think that there's a lot of rules that we have to follow to be holy. That's not true, and that's a lie from Satan. Because holiness is only attributed to God. Him alone is holy. Peter said, be holy, for I am holy. He never said, be holy as I am holy. Holiness belongs to God. And if you want to find holiness, find Him. Holiness is a prerequisite to see God. Matthew 5 verse 8 says this, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. The pure of heart. We just said holiness means a state of being pure. If you want to see God, you better be holy. God said, blessed will be the pure of heart, for they will see me. Do you want to see God? Hebrews 12 says this, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. He says, follow me. God is holy. And if we want to see Him, the journey that we need to take is the journey of holiness. The journey of being pure. Being in a constant state of purity. Being in a constant state of Christ. Then we will be able to see Him. The writer of Hebrews says this. He's exhorted us to be partakers of His holiness. What did we say? Before the foundations of this earth, He has ordained you to be holy and blameless. And in Hebrews He says, be partakers of my holiness. Be partakers of me, for I am holy. The word holy is the only word that has been ascribed to God 3 times. Never we see that any of the angels cry out, love, love, love. Or joy, joy, joy. They cry out, holy, holy, holy. For He is a holy God. In Hebrew, they cry out, Yadesh, Yadesh, Yadesh. Day in and day out, never getting familiar. To go before, flat on their face and cry out, Yadesh, Yadesh, Yadesh. And God said that I saw you being holy. Before the foundations of this earth, I have seen you being holy, walking in Him. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Yet, it's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But this life that I now live, I live in the Son of God, by faith, through the Son of God that gave His life for me, in love. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's no longer Marie, but His holiness got a grab of me. Before the foundations of the earth, there was a vision, and He saw me walking blameless and holy before Him on this planet. And He says, find it in me. There's three things that we're going to look at today. What does holiness look like? Isaiah 6 verse 1. Will you recognize holiness if it pitches up? Will you sense holiness when it comes in? When a great man comes in at the door, you suddenly recognize that somebody great, somebody famous walked into the place. Will you recognize it when holiness comes into the place? When the king comes in? Isaiah 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on high, on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. This is Isaiah, and he sees this vision. And he sees a vision of holiness. And this word speaks of a continuous act. His train fills the temple over and over and over. And suddenly he's confronted with holiness. When Isaiah saw this vision, he was already a major prophet. We've got minor prophets in the Old Testament and major prophets. He was one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. This guy was radical. He was crazy. He preached for 3 years naked. Imagine Pastor Leon has to preach naked for 3 years. This guy was mad. But he was the voice and a prophet of God. And suddenly he was taken into heaven. And at that time he was already established as a major prophet. And suddenly this prophet is confronted with the holiness of God. And this is what he says the moment that he enters into that vision. He says, the first thing he did was fall on his face and cry out aloud, I am undone. I'm finished. I'm dead. there's nothing left of me. This was one of God's greatest prophets. One of the greatest prophets, but still, when he was confronted with holiness, he says, I am undone. When God's holiness moves into a place, true repentance will follow. That will be the fruit. When holiness comes into that door, repentance in your heart will be the fruit. This is the very place that the seraphim cover their faces and their feet and cry out to him, holy, holy, holy. Isaiah saw this and he heard how they cry, holy, holy, holy. The word seraph, if you're going to translate it directly, it means fire. Where you find the holiness of God, you will find his fire. For his fire will bring a purification. A purification that without that purity, you will not be able to see God. But he said, before the foundations of the earth, that I have seen you being holy. I have seen you being pure. So what am I going to do? I'm going to send my fire. And the moment that the fire comes, we want to run. We want to run out of that door. And we want to say, I don't want to do this anymore. But his fire will bring a purification and it will bring a holiness that will get you to a point where that vision that he saw will be true, that you will be pure, that you will be holy and blameless before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To be holy, God does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. He is the standard of holiness. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He is your standard. When the devil comes in, the Bible says it like this, when the devil comes in like a flood, it's wrongly translated. It should say, when the devil comes in, comma, like a flood, the Holy Spirit will raise up a standard against him. That is our standard. When the devil comes in, Jesus Christ becomes our holiness. He becomes a standard that we follow, and nothing can touch us. So how are we going to get there? Our first point on our notes, the highway to holiness. The word highway in the Hebrew can be translated as a staircase, a path, a course, or a terrace. So let's look at Isaiah. This guy was crazy. He was talking about highways in the Bible. I've never heard this, saw this word in the Bible. When I was looking in it, I thought, this great guy is crazy. He's in the holiness of God. He talks about highways. He's preaching naked. Let's see what he's all about. Isaiah 11 verse 16 says this. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people. Isaiah 35 says this. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wavering men, though fools, shall not err therein. There is a highway of holiness. Isaiah saw this vision, and he said, there is a highway, and this highway will lead you to holiness. Where can we find this highway? If God said that we should be pure, we should be holy like he is holy, for he is holy, where can we find this? And he says, and an highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Isaiah 40, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. In the wilderness, you will find a highway to his holiness, a highway to purification, a highway to a state of being pure, a highway to this rayon that God saw before the foundations of this earth. In the wilderness, God will send a fire to purify your hearts, to get you to a place of holiness. In the verse, we clearly see that the wilderness is the location of God's highway. It is in this wilderness that the way is prepared. It is in this wilderness that we find the road to the high exalted life. Why do you need to be in a high exalted life? I want to read you guys this psalm. It says, Psalm 24, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who, I might have lost a two there. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? The one who has clean hands and pure hearts. Who can go up to the mountain? Why is it important to go up to the mountain? Why does God say to John, when John is in the Isle of Patmos, why does he say to him, and suddenly John saw a door, and he saw one like the Christ, and he said to him, come up higher, for I have stuff to show you. I will show you what's to come. Come up higher. Why is God on a high mountain? Why should we go to a higher place? When Moses was on the Mount Sinai, and he received the Ten Commandments, Joshua was just down below him, and Joshua was waiting for him 40 days. And he was ministering to Moses. And while Moses was in the presence of God, Aaron was busy making a calf. And they were celebrating and they were worshiping this calf. And Moses comes down from the mountain where he was in the presence of God. And he meets Joshua just a bit lower. And he says, what is this that I hear? And Joshua says, it sounds like war. Moses says to Joshua, that's not war. That is a celebration. That is singing. Your altitude in life will determine what you hear. Your altitude in the place where you are will determine what you hear. Where are you? Are you on the road going up? It is not easy for an airplane to go from one altitude to the next altitude. There is some effort that he has to put in. What effort will you put in? Will you run when the fire comes to bring holiness, purification? Or will you say, I will go on this road, this highway. I will find it in the wilderness. When the Holy Spirit comes and says, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to be a voice that leads you into the wilderness. Will you turn around and run? Will you say, I'm going to run on this highway to holiness? For this is a remnant, says Isaiah. This is a way for a remnant. You can read there on your notes, page 2. Few have endured this highway till the end. Many have started this journey, but few have successfully seen it through. Most of us pray and ask God to make us holy, to create in us a pure heart. Yet when we start the journey to holiness, we find ourselves in the wilderness and suddenly we begin to doubt God. Suddenly we want to give up. Or we change our prayer to God, deliver me from the wilderness. God's desire is for us to be, is to journey on this highway to holiness. Not to give up halfway, but to persevere. Do you know what the word Holy Spirit, Parakletos, helper. Helper means to jump with you in a hole. That's what it's translated as. The Holy Spirit will jump with you in a hole. And He will be with you. Isaiah 35, we've read it. For in the wilderness shall water break out, and streams in the desert, and an highway shall be there. This scripture reiterates again that in the wilderness you will find the way of holiness, the highway of the Lord. The wilderness is one of the crucibles which God will use to purify your motives and your intentions. God is in the process of preparing our hearts prior to the return of His beloved church. Jesus' whole ministry was to prepare a bride. His focus of His ministry was His bride. To present His bride to Him as holy and glorious. We find that in Ephesians 5. I want to read this to you. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and give yourself to it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. It should be holy and without blemish. The heart of Jesus is his bride. You are his heart. The church is his bride. And he is coming back for a glorious bride, a holy bride. So what does the word glory mean? Glory means doxa. In the Greek, we can find it as doxa. What does doxa mean? The impact of God on our physical senses. That is his glory. The moment that his glory comes into this place, it is tangible. You can feel it. You can smell it. You know that his presence is in this place. For his glory will have an impact on your senses. And he says that his bride should be tangibly permeated with the presence of God. So now he's created this highway for us to take this road to holiness, to purity. Before the New Testament, we get the last Old Testament prophet, Malachi. And he prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. He was the last Old Testament prophet to declare that Christ will come. And then John the Baptist came, 400 years after that. And he prepared the way for Christ. His mandate was to bring the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to prepare the hearts of Israel and the people of God for the coming of Jesus Christ. That was a prophetic voice. And once again, before Jesus Christ will come a second time, there is a prophetic voice that God is busy establishing on this planet. And that prophetic voice is preparing the way and the hearts of the people and bringing them to holiness. Because without holiness, nobody will see God. And that prophetic voice, there is a generation of the prophetic that God is busy raising up. And now there will not only be one prophet, but there will be a company of prophets. And in this house, we have one prophet that will declare and that will decree over our lives. This atmosphere in this church is a prophetic atmosphere. That prophetic atmosphere has not only been given that you will have a personal prophecy, but that prophetic atmosphere is there to prepare your heart, to prepare your heart for purification, for repentance before God, so that you can journey on this highway. It will send you into this highway. This prophetic voice might send you into the wilderness to test you, to purify you, to bring you to a place of holiness. And the moment that you come into this place and you feel there's stuff in your heart that's coming up and you think, why is this stuff coming up? I've never dealt with this. I had never had to deal with rejection. I have never had these thoughts. I have never had these emotions. Be ready. Because God is saying, I'm taking you on a journey. And we're getting the stuff that is inside that we cannot see out. That is what the prophetic voice in this church is doing. And it's creating a highway. And a way for you to walk in purity and in holiness. The focus of the true prophetic anointing is not only to give personal prophecies to individuals, but to deal with the heart and thus yielding true repentance. The restoration of the prophetic office will ultimately prepare our hearts. Job was a man that was blameless. He was righteous. The Bible says that he was an upright man, one who feared God and shunned evil. Even God had a testimony about Job. Imagine God goes around and he has a testimony of you. And as he walks in heaven, he just talks about you. Satan pitches up and God says to him, ha ha, have you seen my servant Job? And he brags about Job. And this is what God had to say about Job. He said, there hasn't been one man on this planet like Job. None like him on this earth. Imagine God walks in heaven and he says, Lawrence, there is none like you on this earth. And he talks to his angels and he brags about you. I am sure that this man knew God. I am sure that Job had a relationship with God. And suddenly in Job 42, he finds himself in a place of holiness. And he's confronted with the holiness of God. And what does he cry out? I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This guy knew God. Do you think that you know God? The moment that you're confronted with His holiness, you will know that you are undone. But we run from His holiness. We run from the road that takes us to holiness. We run from the fire that brings purification. A personal revelation of God is the highest that He has to offer. That is holiness. If you have a personal revelation of who God is, there's nothing more that He can offer you than that. That is the ultimate revelation. When confronted with holiness, true repentance of the heart will take place. The wilderness is the way to holiness. In this place, we will find true repentance. So Obadiah said, there's only one chapter in Obadiah. In verse 17, it says this, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. On God's mountain, the moment that there is repentance and deliverance will take place, and His holiness will have a place to come in. The prophetic anointing in this church will be a voice preparing your hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to reveal His holiness. So as a people, we are aligned with this house. Be prepared to go through a time of purification. Allow it to lead you, to change you, to bring you to a place of holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. Our prayer should be, lead me into the wilderness. Lead me on the highway. Bring me to purification. Lord, we just worship You. We just praise You. We just honor You. For You are our place of safety, our buckler, our shield. We praise You. We worship You. We honor You. We pray, Lord, that You will give us strength in the time that we might be in the wilderness and that we might think, where am I going? Where is my ministry? God has no use for me. But in those times, You are purifying us, bringing us to a place where we are pure, in a permanent state of being pure before You. We worship You, we honor You, we cry out to You, Yadesh, 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 and we praise Your name. We give You all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen.